Have you ever wondered why 1 in 7 people in the UK are now self-employed, despite the countless challenges entrepreneurship presents? Carl Reeder's Boss It has become a sensation among aspiring business owners for good reason. It strips away the glamorized facade of entrepreneurship that dominates social media. Unlike the flashy get-rich-quick gurus with their rented Lamborghinis, Reeder offers something far more valuable. Brutal honesty paired with actionable wisdom. The book has earned praise from executives at major organizations like Young Enterprise, Intuit, and ACCA UK precisely because it balances inspiration with reality. As Reeder's practical approach continues gaining traction, even celebrities like Richard Branson have endorsed his straightforward philosophy that business isn't difficult, it's hard work, but not difficult. The fantasy of business ownership often includes flexible schedules, no boss, and financial abundance. But let's be honest, this rarely matches reality. Most self-employed individuals simply create their own rat race, with no guaranteed income and significant unpaid work. Even seemingly well-paid professionals, like plumbers charging $80 an hour, spend countless unbilled hours on marketing, travel, administration, and waiting for work. A typical day might include 3 billable hours, but 8 hours of total work-related activity, effectively halving that hourly rate. You'll almost certainly never hit your projections perfectly. Most entrepreneurs suffer from optimistic bias, predicting more customers, higher spending, and better margins while forgetting costs. Studies show that 82% of small business owners overestimate their first-year revenue by an average of 42%. This optimism is actually necessary. Without it, you wouldn't leave a stable job for the uncertainty of entrepreneurship. However, this same optimism can lead to dangerous cash flow issues if not tempered with realistic planning. The emotional roller coaster is intense and unpredictable. In the early days, you'll do everything from management to typing to cleaning. You might start your day handling customer service emails, spend lunch negotiating with suppliers, and end it fixing your website or balancing books. You'll quickly realize how much you don't know, juggling sales with finance while managing suppliers and developers. Every win and loss is yours, creating stress beyond imagination, but also incredible highs. One day you're celebrating a major client win, the next you're dealing with a crisis that threatens everything. Self-employed people often joke that they go from working for a jerk to working for a maniac. The pressure of hitting targets forces unsociable hours, with many entrepreneurs regularly working 60-70-hour weeks. Even as your business grows, your input often increases until you build a truly scalable operation with a management team. Yet only 4% of UK businesses ever reach 1 million turnover, and of those, only 10% reach 10 million. The path to scaling requires careful systems development, team building, and often significant capital investment. When running your own business, your personal and work worlds merge completely. Business acquaintances become personal friends, and vice versa. Weekends become weekdays, and work-life balance becomes harder to achieve. Your family vacation might include checking emails or taking emergency calls. Your dinner conversations often revolve around business challenges, and your social circle increasingly consists of other entrepreneurs who understand your journey. Despite these hardships, there's a certain magic in controlling your own destiny. Even through struggle, you feel energized and fulfilled because you're moving towards self-actualization, what Maslow defined as to become everything one is capable of becoming. This sense of purpose often compensates for the longer hours and increased stress, providing a deep satisfaction that traditional employment rarely matches. The key difference between self-employment and running a business is whether it could continue without your daily involvement. If it can, it's a scalable business. If you're integral to operations, you're self-employed. Of the 5.5 million UK businesses, 76% have no employees, and many owners are content with this model. Neither approach is inherently better. What matters is aligning your choice with your personal goals, risk tolerance, and desired lifestyle. Success looks different for everyone. For some, it's building a global empire. For others, it's creating a sustainable lifestyle business that provides freedom and satisfaction.
Successful businesses don't require revolutionary inventions, wealthy founders, or perfect timing. Instead, they follow four essential steps: dream, creating a compelling vision; plan, developing actionable structures; do, taking consistent action; and review, evaluating all previous steps. Each step builds upon the previous one, creating a continuous cycle of improvement and growth. These steps align with the three business personality types described in the E-Myth Revisited: the entrepreneur, dream; manager, plan; and technician, do. Most business failures occur when owners neglect one of these areas, particularly the do phase, where many engage in creative avoidance, doing anything but the important tasks. For example, an owner might spend hours perfecting their logo instead of making sales calls, or endlessly revising their business plan rather than engaging with potential customers. The dream phase requires crafting a clear, compelling vision that energizes both the owner and potential stakeholders. This vision should include specific, measurable outcomes and a realistic timeline. The plan phase involves breaking down this vision into actionable steps, creating systems, and establishing metrics for success. The do phase is where many businesses falter. It requires consistent execution of planned activities, even when they're uncomfortable or mundane. The review phase, often overlooked, involves regular assessment of progress, identification of bottlenecks, and course corrections as needed. Despite media fascination with innovative unicorns, tech startups valued at $1+ billion, most successful businesses don't require groundbreaking innovation. These unicorns receive disproportionate press coverage due to their high valuations, creating a false impression that all businesses must innovate radically to succeed. In reality, the vast majority of companies sustaining the global economy operate without such valuations or revolutionary innovation. Consider local restaurants, accounting firms, or construction companies. They succeed through consistent execution rather than revolutionary ideas. Success means different things to different people, yet many entrepreneurs pursue superficial markers without considering what truly matters to them. Before setting business goals, reflect on your personal definition of success. Is it material wealth like luxury cars and mansions, or is it having time for family, friends, health, and longevity? Excellence in one area often comes at the expense of others. A business owner might achieve high revenue growth but sacrifice personal relationships or health in the process. Business goals often fail when they aren't aligned with personal values. Many entrepreneurs set targets based on societal expectations, like revenue targets or luxury possessions, rather than what truly matters to them. For instance, an entrepreneur might pursue rapid expansion because it's expected, even though they personally value work-life balance and sustainable growth. When entrepreneurs follow the perceived path of others instead of creating their own authentic vision, they risk pursuing conflicting goals that lead to failure. When pursuing two compelling but incompatible goals, failure becomes inevitable. For example, wanting to retire to a sunny resort within a year while simultaneously building a multi-million-pound empire creates an irreconcilable conflict. Similarly, aiming to maintain a 20-hour work week while trying to compete with industry leaders who work 80-hour weeks sets up an impossible situation. Either goal alone might be achievable, but together they create fundamental contradictions that prevent success. A strong business plan goes beyond the typical investor pitch deck to become a living document that guides your business. While planning approaches vary by personality, some prefer broad, big-picture plans with short-term actions, while others need detailed weekly targets, what matters most is creating a plan you'll actually use. The biggest weakness in traditional business planning is focusing too much on validating concepts and financial projections while neglecting how results will be achieved. Effective planning means detailing actions, not just desired outcomes, and ensuring the plan evolves rather than gathering dust in a drawer. Despite motivational quotes suggesting no plan B, responsible entrepreneurs need backup plans to protect themselves, their families, employees, customers, and funders. Effective planning should address three key areas: what-if scenarios that keep medium-term goals flexible, adaptation processes for market changes, and protection strategies against unexpected events. When beginning the planning process, start with words before numbers to avoid becoming a spreadsheet millionaire, someone who uses financial projections to justify their business emotionally rather than logically. The real value comes from going through the planning process itself, not just creating the final document. A comprehensive business plan includes several key sections. The easy sections include the executive summary, a one-page distillation of your concept, background of the business owner, focusing on identifying your skill gaps, team background, and a detailed business description. Having these sections critically reviewed by someone who can take multiple perspectives helps identify blind spots. The slightly harder sections require deeper research, starting with market research. This crucial step ensures alignment between what your business offers and what customers actually want. While initial research can begin online, comprehensive market research should include both quantitative, facts and figures, and qualitative, feelings and emotions components. When analyzing competitors, avoid dismissing them due to technical bias. A restaurant owner might look down on McDonald's food quality while missing their impressive business systems. View competitors objectively by researching similar businesses through observation, online searches, and asking around. Remember that competition isn't limited to identical businesses. A Vietnamese restaurant competes with all dining options, including other cuisines and even grocery delivery services. When planning your business, you must decide whether you need funding and what type suits your venture. While some entrepreneurs can self-fund through savings or partner support, many require external financing. Before taking on debt, investigate available grants for your industry or location, though competition for these can be intense. Your attitude toward business debt is often shaped by personal finance experiences, but it's important to distinguish between good debt that creates assets or allows investment and bad debt, unserviceable or unnecessary borrowing. Debt funding, the most common external financing for small businesses, typically comes from banks through business loans or overdrafts. These arrangements are rigidly structured with decisions based on affordability, interest cover, available security, and the lender's criteria. Outside major banks, debt funding is available, but costlier due to perceived higher risk. Invoice financing allows businesses to fund the value of customer debts through either invoice discounting, funding only, or factoring, funding plus collection management. This option benefits businesses that pay staff before receiving customer payments, such as temporary staffing agencies or cleaning companies. Stock financing enables manufacturers and distributors to unlock value from inventory and raw materials throughout the supply chain. Common in the automotive industry, but applicable to any product-based business, lenders secure their position through charges over stock and limit funding periods to avoid financing obsolete inventory. Leasing agreements allow businesses to acquire assets over time, with variations that either offer eventual ownership or function purely as rentals, each with different accounting treatments. Leasing can effectively spread risk among multiple lenders rather than relying on a single funding source. Equity funding offers more flexibility than debt, but can create complications later. While often associated with venture capital for high-growth tech startups, equity arrangements exist at all levels and across industries. Simple examples include partnerships where one person provides expertise while another supplies capital, or family arrangements where parents invest in exchange for partial ownership. There's no universal answer to whether equity or debt funding is better for your business. Venture capital typically targets businesses with global ambitions, scalable concepts, and large addressable markets, due to growth requirements that drive investor returns. However, simpler equity arrangements might work well for both parties.
At the crucial stage when you've created your business idea, confirmed market fit, registered everything necessary, and made your first sale, it's tempting to accelerate growth. But this is precisely when you need to slow down and build proper systems. Without them, more customers means more balls to juggle. Emails get missed, calls go to voicemail, suppliers don't get paid, and eventually everything crashes. Business owners often focus solely on customer-facing tasks, like emails, proposals, and marketing, neglecting the less visible operational aspects. When you accelerate growth without proper systems, you simply add more balls to juggle until they inevitably crash. From a customer perspective, they expect you to have established processes for sales and delivery. Without documented procedures, you'll remain the bottleneck, unable to scale or delegate effectively. Though often used interchangeably, systems and processes have distinct meanings. A system brings together multiple processes within a business area. A process is a sequence of tasks, procedures, that enable a specific outcome. A procedure is one step within a process, while instructions guide team members in completing procedures. Before designing detailed processes, map out the major systems your business needs. Most businesses should focus on five key areas: lead generation, marketing; lead conversion, sales; operations, doing the work; human resources, staff management; and financials, money management. For each system, identify key performance indicators, KPIs, that measure success, but limit these to prevent losing focus on what truly matters. While systems exist in the entrepreneur's mind initially, scaling requires documenting this intellectual property so others can follow it. Great processes must be effective, directly impacting system KPIs, efficient, no superfluous steps, complete, covering likely scenarios, and clear, easily understood. When documenting processes, use simple formats like checklists or flowcharts rather than overcomplicated systems. An operations manual ties together all systems, processes, and procedures in your business. Think of it as the Bible of your business, documenting everything from opening doors to cleaning up in the evening. Rather than a dusty book that's never used, modern operations manuals are dynamic online documents, often in wiki or intranet form. In any business, two core activities determine success: finding customers and keeping them. Without a steady, predictable customer flow, strategic decisions become impossible, leading to feast or famine cycles. Keeping customers matters even more, as acquiring new ones costs more than retaining existing ones. Many owners mistakenly believe in magic bullets, that great websites automatically attract traffic, prime locations guarantee foot traffic, or superior products sell themselves. This passive, aggressively waiting for the phone to ring approach simply doesn't work. Before diving into marketing, define your ideal customer. Go beyond basic demographics by asking wide-ranging questions about their lifestyle, values, and behaviors. Their age, occupation, goals, priorities, spending habits, media consumption, political leanings, social media use, shopping preferences, and personal style choices. This comprehensive approach helps you understand their motivations, what messages they'll respond to, and how to reach them. Every business has a target market, whether labeled a niche or not. Major retailers like Waitrose, Boots, and Poundland know exactly who their customers are and tailor their marketing accordingly, but they don't turn away paying customers outside their target demographic. Defining your ideal customer doesn't mean rejecting others. It allows you to craft messaging that resonates with your core audience's values. There are countless ways to promote a business, and while every solution claims to be a magic pill, experienced business owners know only about half of marketing spend actually works, if only we knew which half. Marketing activities can be divided into direct, trackable, measurable actions like pay-per-click ads, and indirect, credibility-building elements like logos and brochures. Both types are necessary. Modern businesses have numerous marketing channels available. Organic online marketing includes websites and content creation, with SEO evolving from keyword manipulation to overall user experience optimization. Paid search marketing guarantees visibility but requires careful cost-per-click calculations. Social media marketing works best with human-to-human connections rather than corporate sales pitches. Paid social campaigns offer powerful demographic targeting. Influencer marketing can be effective with authentic advocates. Traditional offline advertising builds credibility despite tracking difficulties. Content marketing demonstrates expertise without giving away your business. PR can be cost-effective when strategic. A marketing plan prevents wasting budget on scattershot tactics without monitoring results or understanding ROI. It doesn't need to be complicated. A monthly structure works well to accommodate seasonal promotions. Include activity names, themes or campaigns, budgeted and actual spend, activity metrics, results, and return on investment.
Congratulations on building a successful business foundation that allows you to focus full-time and perhaps even employ team members. While most successful businesses remain small with just the proprietor and possibly an assistant, your goal may be different. You might want a business that works for you rather than the other way around, one that provides income security while allowing you freedom for holidays and time away. This requires transforming self-employment into a scalable business. A scalable business has several key characteristics. The most important indicator is lack of dependence on the owner. The business functions smoothly without the owner handling everything from opening to closing. Other characteristics include absence of bottlenecks where work stacks up due to overloaded key staff, systems that just work with procedures that anticipate future growth, acting bigger than current size by investing in proper solutions rather than free versions, and fostering a culture where staff are enthusiastic about the business's growth journey. Before diving into scaling mechanics, wise entrepreneurs step back to reconsider their vision. While startups focus on immediate survival, getting customers, delivering services, paying bills, established businesses face different choices. Scaling isn't simply about more sales. It requires transforming your business fundamentally, which will impact your personal life, work-life balance, and potentially your health and relationships. Your role will shift dramatically from doing the work to managing others to leading at an executive level. Research from Harvard Business Review found that 50% of founders were no longer CEO after 3 years, and fewer than 25% led their companies to IPO. These weren't voluntary exits. For every Zuckerberg or Blakely who successfully scales, countless others don't complete the journey. Having a clear vision is essential, whether you're planning global domination or modest growth. Most entrepreneurs have ambitions matched by fuzzy notions of success. Without articulating this vision clearly, you'll struggle to secure funding or team buy-in. Clarify your vision by answering fundamental questions. What difference do you want to make in the world? What size should the business become? What's your personal end goal? People are both the most rewarding and challenging part of any business. Unlike data-driven funding decisions, building an effective team has no single rulebook, yet staffing mistakes can be devastating to a growing company. Most businesses recruit reactively when overwhelmed, leading to common mistakes, hiring for skills rather than attitude, setting arbitrary standards, and hiring quickly while firing slowly. These errors typically stem from poor planning. The true cost of bad recruitment extends far beyond agency fees, as one poor hire can negatively impact the entire team, especially regarding cultural fit. Effective recruitment requires planning ahead, taking on staff before they're desperately needed. Create an organization chart showing every position your business might eventually need, regardless of current staffing limitations. This helps identify key functions within the business. Next, you need comprehensive job descriptions for each role in your hypothetical model, even if you can't hire them all immediately. Each effective job description should include a clear job title that accurately describes the role, a list of responsibilities, required qualifications and experience, reporting structure that aligns with your organization chart, and key performance indicators that define success for the role. After creating job descriptions, allocate names to individual roles.
You'll likely have people fulfilling multiple roles and several gaps representing future hires. Before rushing to fill these positions, assess each role's urgency, whether anything is being held up by not filling it, whether roles need to be full-time or part-time, if responsibilities can be reassigned to existing staff, if someone can be trained for the role, or if it can be outsourced. Once you've identified gaps between your dream team and current reality, you need a process for finding new talent, ideally before it becomes urgent. Like finding customers, recruiting staff involves marketing and sales elements, creating an attractive employment environment, developing a conversion process for potential recruits, and finding candidates to take through that process. Leadership is perhaps the only facet of scaling a business that isn't reliant on facts and figures. It's solely impacted by your own performance with nowhere to hide. While culture eats strategy for breakfast, both are essential and interdependent. A business with strong culture but no strategy will fall apart, while one with strong strategy but poor culture will struggle to advance. Culture isn't about superficial elements like ping pong tables or casual dress codes. These tactics can't mask a poorly evolved culture. Great culture must be deliberately built by design rather than allowed to develop haphazardly. As a leader, your behavior profoundly impacts everyone in your business. Effective leadership means setting the path and then getting out of the way. Praise in public, but address challenges privately. Hire people better than you in their specialties and learn from them. Maintain a helicopter view of the business while challenging assumptions by asking why things can't be done 10 times better or faster. Keep communication simple. If something can't be explained to an 8-year-old, perhaps the concept isn't clear. Take advice from experts, strike the right balance of approachability without being everyone's best friend, and practice seeing decisions from multiple stakeholders' perspectives. Finally, maintain perspective through ups and downs. Business is rarely as good or as bad as it seems in the moment.